If you think we're on the run.
Yes, hello and welcome to episode 48 of the Dad's Army podcast. And this is the May podcast, so you'd have had two podcasts within the last 4 weeks because we had Oliver's special podcast that covered the Heritage Foundation's Perry and Croft tribute a couple of weeks ago. Really good podcast that, Oliver. Fantastic.
That's very kind of you to say so, James, and I hope everyone at home enjoyed it.
Well, for me it's a pleasure because obviously I always know what's coming up in these podcasts. So it was actually quite good not to feature in one of the ones. It was really good. Anyway, what have we got coming up for you in the next half an hour or so? Quite a bit, actually. There's been a significant amount of Dad's Army news,
which everyone always takes as with surprise when I tell them about this. Oh, you know, what do you do on a podcast? Well, we go through the news. What news? But there's an enormous amount going on in the world of Dad's Army, and you're always the first to hear it. So
it is quite strange how many news items come up. I mean, I've just keyed in a Google search or a Google alert. So every time the words dads and army come up in the same sentence on a web page, I get emailed about it.
Oh, really?
And I'm constantly deleting references to football teams and so on. But every now and again, you come up with an absolute gem of a news story and you get it almost instantaneously. So yeah, you're quite correct. Later on, we've got a preview with Paul Carpenter of the Dad's Army weekend that's coming up in June this year. And unlike usual, when we've mentioned it in the past, Oliver, we've actually got some details about it this time.
Here we go. We came prepared this time.
We can even say what dates it's happening on, for definite, which is a really big advancement for us here at the podcast. And we've got a couple of funny stories as well that have just arisen about Dad's Army. A couple of references made in a few contemporary programmes. There's a new DVD been released as well that we can talk about. And in addition, we'll revisit the competition that we launched a couple of podcasts ago that's already generated a significant amount of interest amongst you listeners. So that's really good to know that it's challenging you in terms of your Dad's Army knowledge.
We'll also reveal just how well Dad's Army repeats have been doing in the ratings on television. You know, it's equally as popular as ever, so which is very encouraging, and let's hope that they continue.
So before we end up going through all of the news in the introduction, let's go to the newsroom.
Here is the news, and this is John Snagg reading it.
Okay, first up this podcast. Now, Oliver, do you remember a certain prop in Is There Honey Still for Tea? Outside Godfrey's cottage, there was a garden feature.
Well, I was going to say Pike's invisible machine gun, but I've got that totally wrong.
That would have been quite a good prop, particularly if it was in the context of the story that we're actually going to go through, because
that was a different one.
Yes, we're going to be talking about Godfrey's wishing well instead. Okay. Now, it only made one appearance, or only made an appearance in that one episode. Little did I know that it still survives today. The actual prop is in existence. It's currently being restored. Now, this is all part of an initiative that the Dad's Army Museum in Thetford have become part of, really. They had the wishing well returned to them, and I'm not entirely certain how they actually came by it, but they gave it to an initiative for young people who are learning restoration as a trade. And it's currently being restored to as good a condition as it possibly can be. And then it's going to go into the Dad's Army Museum. So you can actually go and see this wishing well.
And are they going to have it as, you know, where you will be able to make a wish and pop a penny or two in? You know, will that be a feature?
I think they'd be missing a trick if they didn't.
Yeah.
But no, it's currently in the hands of a bunch of 10 to 18-year-olds from Thetford Zone for Learning. And they've been tasked with repairing the piece. And that's going to take a period of time. And once it's completely restored and presentable as a museum exhibit, then you'll be able to go and see this particular prop. And I think that's an absolutely superb find, to be honest with you. It's been a very long time since it was actually used. And if you look at it in the episode, it really does look very authentic. I know props are supposed to be authentic, but it doesn't look like a bit of cardboard or anything. So fantastic. I'm really looking forward to going and see it.
It's brilliant. It's involving young people as well in sort of looking after a national treasure. You know, it's great.
Apparently, a lot of the 10 to 18-year-olds who are involved in restoring it have never seen Dad's Army. But the
well, now that they will have, I'm sure. They'll have made an extra effort to see this episode. And then discovered a gem.
Quite possibly. I wonder if that really is the case. I think it's interesting the way the article reported that particular section of the news story. They said that most of the 10 to 18 year olds had not seen Dad's Army. They didn't say that they hadn't heard of Dad's Army.
No.
And I think that's probably quite an important distinction there.
Yeah.
Because most kids have heard of Dad's Army.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which I think it's very easy to overlook. When you're a real fan of Dad's Army, you tend to think, well, it's going to be a fairly high average age of fan these days. But it's very, very true that young children and teenagers do get the humour within Dad's Army.
I met two gentlemen from Poland last night, and I asked them if they'd seen Dad's Army. Well, don't panic! Don't panic! So, there we go.
Was one of them called Wino Grudzki?
No, it wasn't. Now, a potentially interesting release onto DVD, if a little bewildering by its title, is the Lost Interviews DVD. At first, you might think, oh, wow, we've got John Lemez and Arthur Lowe and John Laurie all on camera talking about that. No, but we have got Leslie Grantham to offer you, talking about his latest work on the stage show, and Ian Lavender as well. But this 32-minute offering, presented by Neil King, seems like a bit of a cashing in on Dad's Army, as far as I can see.
I mean, it's difficult to talk about with any authority because we haven't seen it yet. So,
true.
I mean, it's been released in, well, as we record this, in just under a week's time, on the 26th of April. But I think there's quite a lot to be sceptical about, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, the cheapest I've found it online at the moment is $6.99, which I suppose is not a significant amount of money. But I think there's a big misnomer in terms of the title. The Lost Interviews.
Yeah.
What was lost precisely about these interviews? As far as I'm aware, they've never been lost. It seems to be, and this is the reason why I'm a little bit, not just uncomfortable, but quite annoyed at the use of that title, because it's trying to plug into fans' alarm bell system, really.
Yeah.
Whenever you hear the word lost, when you talk about Dad's Army, you think, has another episode been found?
Absolutely.
So I think it's taken advantage of people really wanting to find, you know, those three episodes from Series 2. Secondly, Leslie Grantham, we don't actually know if he is going to be talking about his experiences in the stage play. I'll be exceptionally disappointed if he isn't.
No.
And
he's talking about Fort Boyard.
Well, that would probably be really interesting.
Yeah.
I think we've got to assume that he is talking about his portrayal of Walker in the touring stage plays. Although why that in itself would warrant a DVD release, I'm not sure. And Ian Lavender, again, I'm kind of hoping that his association with it might mean that it's got some credibility.
Yes. But at 32 minutes long, I mean, you know, to me, I'm speaking of someone who's made a documentary about Dad's Army, about Frank Williams. And, I mean, the DVD is coming soon. I know it's been coming soon for an enormous amount of time, but I want it to be right for everyone. I want the quality to be right. I would personally hate to put something onto DVD, and I certainly wouldn't charge what these people are charging for mine. And I'm putting an hour's worth of special features on there to make it worth it for the fans. And to me, these people aren't doing it for the fans. That's the difference. And, you know, to have a presenter in there, I mean, how much... Presented by Neil King. How much of the 32 minutes do we have of Neil King? You know,
have
I mean,
you ever heard of Neil King?
No, well, no. I mean, you know, it seems it's, you know, it's all right being a fan, like as James and I are here talking about something that we love and sharing it with you guys. That's one thing. To go and cash in, I think it's a big bit of a con. But in fairness, I think the Appreciation Society's Permission to Speak magazine summed it up. It just said, proceed with caution.
Yeah.
And I would do the same, viewers, although we will let you know whether it's worth getting. But on first thoughts, I don't think so. But I mean, it's always interesting to hear Ian speak, and in fairness, Leslie. But if it's rubbish, we'll go and meet Leslie Grantham and get you a better interview. How about that?
Sounds good. Now, viewers in the UK will know that Dad's Army has been getting, well, a semi-regular run of repeats most weeks over the last few months, actually, probably over the last year or so.
Yeah.
Dad's Army's been repeated on BBC Two at some points in the schedules. It's never at a consistent time on BBC Two. And we're getting near the end of Season 9 now, or yeah. Series 9. Sorry, I went a bit American there. But yeah, Series 9. Number Engaged was broadcast this Saturday just gone. But the viewing statistics are exceptionally encouraging, aren't they?
They are indeed. Number Engaged actually pulled in 1.8 million with an 8% audience share. And when you consider it's, what, 32 years old, 33 years old, and was actually repeated last year as well. So it's the second time in the space of a year this particular episode has been shown. And it's pulling in an 8% audience share, which is quite incredible. New comedies like Bellamy's People, for example, Paul Whitehouse and Charlie Higson's brand new sitcom, which got loads of publicity, that only pulled in 1.1 million on its first episode. So you've got Dad's Army beating brand new comedy shows.
It's really holding its own.
So what fingers crossed is that, because they are about to show at the time of recording Never Too Old, let's just hope that they start with a new series. They seem to have focused on the last couple of series in recent times. I don't know whether there's a particular reason for that. But let's hope we see some earlier episodes. Have they ever repeated the first two series?
Yes,
in black and white,
yes, they have. And the only reason I know this is because I recently recorded a review segment for another podcast on Command Decision, and that was repeated on two occasions, but it's only ever been on television on three occasions.
Right.
And I found that out during the research. I think the first episode has got a few more showings.
Yes.
But certainly, I don't think the BBC likes showing black and white full stop. It doesn't matter what episodes, it doesn't matter what programme or what series happen to be made in black and white. It's exceptionally rare that they revisit black and white eras of any franchise. And I think it's a shame. I think, going back to your earlier point in terms of whether they'll stop showing Dad's Army now, I think they can. This is my little theory here, right? I think they continually switch the person who's in charge of selecting these episodes, because I think you get one person there thinking, right, we're going to show a consecutive run of episodes from a particular series, like, as you say, we've had from Series 9, and we had, you know, Series 8 almost run in order as well. But prior to that, they were all over the place.
Really?
It was just like someone thought, oh, we'll have that one from this series and that one from that series. Now, I know modern-day TV programmes are usually shown in order, and even the repeats are shown in order. But I think someone's taken a decision, you know, in the case of Dad's Army, that it doesn't actually matter which episode they show at which, you know, point in time.
I think maybe we'll get some
completely different episodes, you know, after Never Too Old goes out.
I think I'm right in saying this, but I mean, maybe in the digital age it's changed, but if for whatever reason a show had a technical hitch, which does occasionally happen, but Deadly Attachment is the BBC's number one choice to put on television.
And I think that speaks volumes, really.
Yeah,
so it's fascinating. But it's good, because I think what it means is that clearly Dad's Army is still on a television. It's going to be on a television for the foreseeable future, raking in just under 2 million viewers. They'd be crazy to take it off.
Well, when Room at the Bottom, the recolorised version, was shown, Christmas 08, I think, was that got 3.1 million. I mean, there is still an enormous interest in Dad's Army.
Well, I think you're quite right, actually, Oliver, for a different reason as well. Now, I think most listeners realise that both Oliver and I are really big Doctor Who fans as well, because if we're going to give a comparison to Dad's Army, almost any aspect, we'll almost certainly resort to Doctor Who first. And there's a reason for me dwelling on it at this particular moment in time. Again, at the point of recording, episode 3 of the new series of Doctor Who has just aired. It was an episode called Victory of the Daleks, set in the Second World War. And I'm absolutely certain that the writer, who's a chap called Mark Gatiss, loves Dad's Army. There were two massive nods to Dad's Army. In fact, the first one wasn't really so much of a nod.
It was a punch in the face.
It was absolutely, or a headbutt. they were showing a particular scene of an air raid warden who, on his tin hat, had the word R instead of W, as Hodges.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know whether I've just learned something there. Maybe air raid wardens did have different letters on their helmets. I've absolutely no idea. But anyway, it cut to a shot of this warden on the roof overseeing an air raid.
Yeah.
And the first line was, "Oi, put that light out."
Wow. That's fantastic.
That was the headbutt.
Yeah.
The much more subtle nod was that there was also a character played by Bill Paterson called Bracewell.
Oh.
And Bracewell, I mean, the way in which Bracewell had been costumed and his hair had been designed and his glasses, he was a spitting image of John Ringham's Bracewell.
Wow.
From episode one. So, I mean, I suppose there is a possibility that I may be reading too much into this.
Yeah.
But as far as I was concerned, I'd already received that very, very obvious indication that, you know, we're acknowledging Dad's Army here. And I think this is just a further subtle reference to the programme. So, yeah, further evidence that Dad's Army is not going away. It's actually come up in an extremely overt way in what everyone acknowledges is now the BBC's flagship drama series.
Yeah.
Now, long-term listeners to the podcast will know that Oliver is an independent filmmaker. He's made a number of films that have involved Frank Williams, some of which have been documentaries, and one which we had the honour of premiering at the Vicar and Chips event last November. And you've been behind the camera again, haven't you?
Well, yes, with Mervyn Cumming, who directed Dad's Army and Beyond and Murder by Appointment. Yeah, Frank approached Mervyn and I. He had an idea for a 30-minute one-man play called The Golden Years, and I'm pleased to say that we recently wrapped filming on that. Mervyn's been shooting a documentary in Kent, and so in between doing that, he's popped over and shot this very, very good drama with Frank. And Frank's quite incredible. He's come up with his amazing storyline and character, a character called Philip, who's an elderly gentleman who's trying to move on in life without his wife of 50 years. And it's a very, very moving performance by Frank, and just sums up to me why he's such an underrated actor and should be on television far more. So it's been my pleasure to sort of oversee this, and I've nearly finished editing it. So we're going to be hitting some film festivals with this and sending it out to television people. But the main part of it is to show what a great actor Frank is, and here's a short clip for you to enjoy as a little teaser.
People say you can always remember where you were when you heard the news that President Kennedy had been assassinated. Well, I certainly can. Mary and I were together. We were celebrating her birthday, and we went to the theatre. Well, nothing highbrow. We went once for Shakespeare, King Lear, Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet. The only professionally Shakespeare play I know is Macbeth. I can still quote from that. We did that at school for our school certificate, but it's the only one. No, we went to the London Palladium. It was a review, a sort of, well, a variety show. I don't know what you'd call it. There were a lot of Americans in the audience. In fact, we were sitting next to an American couple, and we'd been chatting to them in the interval. And then, at the end of the show, the company were all lined up on stage, and the manager came on, and he made the announcement that President Kennedy had been assassinated.
And we'll keep you posted on the progress of the Golden Years. As I say, it's nearly finished. It's going to start hitting festivals later in the year, and when it will eventually come out on DVD, along with other things that I've done with Frank, you'll be the first to know.
Now, a couple of podcasts ago, we launched a competition, and that was, it's proved quite popular, but it's also proved quite challenging, I think. And that was a montage, if you like, of 11 clips from various episodes from the main run of Dad's Army. And all you had to do as the listener was identify these 11 episodes and drop me an email at james@dadsarmypodcast.com. An entire set of Dad's Army DVDs are up for grabs here, so if you happen to get all 11 episodes and then we draw your entry, you'll be the proud owner of every single episode of Dad's Army that's been released by the BBC to date.
There we go.
So it's well worth taking a couple of minutes just trying to identify where these clips originates, what episodes they're actually featuring. So take another listen to the montage, and if you'd like to enter, get your entry to me within the next couple of months.
Who do you think you...
One of you is a murderer. Very soon, I shall reveal the identity.
Well, can we fall out and have a bit of a smoke while we're waiting in, Sarge?
No, I'd rather you didn't, if you don't mind.
Our Corporal Jones, you see that word?
Yes, sir.
Have you done that?
Do you mean recently, sir?
Mensch, guck mal die Zeit. Typisch britisch Untuchtigkeit. Es sind nun schon 10 Minuten her, seit wir abgeschossen worden sind. Und keiner hat uns gefangen genommen.
Kein Wunder, Sie verlieren den Krieg.
Ja, ja, natürlich. Sch, was ist das?
Just a minute, my darling. Yon drum holds 50 rounds. It will go on longer. Something like...
God, Mannering, you can hit pretty low when it suits you.
Sergeant Wilson, take your trousers off.
Tiddlypop.
What is it?
Who do you think?
I dreamt of in Marble Hall.
With a little artoil and a feather. And when I awoke, I found it no joke. He was tanning, but...
Dreddy with his gun, show who...
To Britain's Home Guard.
The Britain's Home Guard.
It won't work, Walker.
Here we are, Oliver. That's the competition. How did you find that?
Well, I feel cross-eyed. It's very well done. Well done. James sent that to me when he'd done it before. I think he put it online. So we're going to give this a try. As you will have gathered from listening to the podcast, my biggest flaw is not knowing the titles of the episode. At one stage I did. I think I'm going senile at the age of 24, but I can't remember what they're called. And often I'm reminded by James that I'm talking about wrong episodes entirely. But it was enormous fun, and I recognised, I'd say, I'm going to be honest, about half of them, there were some where I thought, oh, blimey, I wouldn't know where to start. So he's done a very good job. So anyone out there who gets this right, I commend you, and good luck. But please do write in and give it a go, because a whole DVD set of Dad's Army, that's fantastic.
I've got to be honest, I've had a number of entries already, and I was initially quite surprised at how many I received.
Yeah.
But having said that, compared to the listener numbers, there's still a very, very good chance of anyone entering the competition now winning.
Yeah.
Because it's not astronomical. We haven't got more than 20 entries yet. So that's pretty good odds at the moment.
You've got a chance.
I got those 20 within the first week, though.
And
that's quite incredible.
Were any of them right? Were any of them correct?
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Ooh.
We've got people who've been leaving messages on our website asking me for hints.
Really?
Yeah. You know who you are, and you're not getting any hints from me. So this has all got to be your own work. But do hope you enjoy, you know, trying to listen to these, what I think are quite familiar lines from episodes, but people won't necessarily be able to identify them off the top of their heads. So
no.
A little bit of homework is required there, I think. Anyway, as promised, what's coming up now is a brief preview of the Dad's Army weekend that's taking place, we can say for sure, on the 19th and 20th of June this year. That particular weekend is going to see a number of different events taking place in and around Thetford. Sunday is going to be held at the Bressingham Steam Museum, and that's about 8 miles or so outside of Thetford. One thing I would say that we don't cover in the segment is that if you are planning on going and staying overnight, then you really ought to try and get your bookings or your hotel bookings made as quickly as possible, because there's practically no space in any of the hotels in or around Thetford at the moment.
Or on the streets.
Or on
the
streets.
You should see the tents.
But I think this is something people have been looking forward to for a long time. It's 10 years of Dad's Army events this coming year, being held in and around Thetford and Bressingham. And people are becoming really excited about it, and indeed I am too. I'm really looking forward to it. So I got together with Paul Carpenter from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society, who has been instrumental in organising these events for the fans, and we caught up with him and got just a taster of what you can expect if you go to Thetford over the weekend of the 19th and 20th of June.
This is Frank Williams and you're listening to the Dad's Army Podcast.
And we're back on the Dad's Army Podcast. And I'm really pleased to welcome back an old friend to the podcast. Paul Carpenter from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society joins me once again. Hello, Paul.
Hello, James. Nice to be back.
It's been nearly 12 months, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm not a celebrity. I mean, obviously, you're having celebrities on the podcast now, and I don't count. So, it's nice to be back.
Anyway. Yeah, well, it's good to have you back. But we have got you back for a reason.
It's Thetford and Bressingham this year, 2010. It's, in fact, 10 years since we had the first major event in the area. It's 10 years since the Dad's Army Museum opened at Bressingham. And that weekend, we also had quite a large gathering in Thetford Town Centre, where we had a parade. And all the stars that appeared at Bressingham the following day, they also had a do in Thetford as well. And this year, we've got, to celebrate the 10 years, we've also got the unveiling of the Captain Mannering statue, which has been funded by the Thetford Dad's Army Museum. It was their dream to create a statue of Captain Mannering, and hopefully they've done it, because obviously at the moment it's not been cast. And we're hoping that everything's going to be... We've seen pictures and rough ideas of the statue, and some of our members would have seen it. It's been in the press quite a lot, obviously, to gather interest. And we're hoping that come the 19th of June, the statue will be unveiled by no other than Jimmy Perry and David Croft themselves. So that's really looking forward to that. And we're hoping everything's going to go to plan. And that's what's happening on the Saturday.
Yeah, I think we probably ought to say, because the last couple of times we've mentioned this on a podcast, I've not had my diary close by, and I've been guessing at the date. So let's say, well, let's use the term cast in stone, because that's appropriate for the manner in
cast
statue.
In bronze, I think.
Cast in bronze doesn't sound quite as good. But anyway, the dates for this year's Dad's Army Day, or weekend, if
weekend,
you like,
yes,
is Saturday the 19th and Sunday the 20th of June.
That's it.
And we've already mentioned the unveiling of the statue, provided, of course, it's cast in time, or else it'll be quite an interesting unveiling.
It'll be interesting, yeah.
let's talk about that in a little bit more detail. That's due to happen between 11:45 and 12:30 on the Saturday.
That is, yes. There's a window where they can... the car park nearby is going to be closed anyway, but there is a window where they can actually close the whole area off. And the idea is to get the celebrities, and Jimmy and David certainly, to come down between that time and do the unveiling. And for those that don't know, the statue's position is going to be just off Bridge Street by the Bridge Street car park, and it's basically across the river from the Bell. And the statue is going to be positioned in such a way that you can, when you're facing the statue, you'll see the Bell. So if it was facing the other way, unfortunately, you'd look over the anchor, which is the old anchor, which is a bit of a mess at the moment. It's basically been knocked down, it's burnt. So, and the site's going to be redeveloped. But no, it's going to be facing the correct way, with Bell in the background for obviously photo opportunities and things like that.
Okay, just so that, I mean, if some listeners aren't particularly aware of the significance of the Bell Hotel, I mean, that's got quite a firm place in Dad's Army filming history, hasn't it?
It has, even though they didn't film in the Bell. That's where all the cast and the main cast used to be put up when they were filming in the area. And the anchor actually has some Dad's Army history, because that's where they actually filmed the first scene on the programme when they're reminiscing I'm Back in Britain campaign. That was filmed at the anchor. So
that was the pre-credit sequence.
It's
really.
Yes, the 1960s sequence. And it's a shame the anchor's gone, because it would be nice to have kept the room that actually filmed in. But it's a shame.
Well, there you go. I think quite a lot of the cast today, when they come back up to Thetford each year, they quite enjoy staying in the Bell, because it's got so many memories for them.
A lot of ghosts as well, and they all have they all feel they like it there. Because they had such nice memories of filming Dad's Army, normally around May, and the social gathering had all their wives and as well with them, and they just have fond memories of staying. Mm-hmm. And the weather was, as famously, Croft's weather, was always good. And the Bell does welcome them back every time they see them. So.
Okay, so if you're planning on coming to see that statue unveiled, then it's, even if you're not familiar with Thetford, it'll be incredibly easy to find, because Thetford's not a big place, really, is it?
No, it's not. There's lots going on as well. There's some exhibitions, exhibits and displays going on nearby. It's not just the statue unveiling. There's other bits and pieces happening, reenactments, and some vehicles going to be on display as well. There is also the Burrell Steam Museum in Thetford as well, and they did provide some vehicles for Dad's Army, and I think they're going to be open as well. The Thetford Dad's Army Museum, of course, will be open, which is in Cage Lane, which is just behind the Guildhall, and also during the previous week, and also on the Saturday matinee, it's going to be a showing of the Dad's Army Comes Home stage play as well. So yes, there's quite a bit happening in Thetford itself.
I'm quite keen to talk about this, and I'm looking forward to it as well. The Dad's Army Come Home matinee, so called presumably because so much of the location filming was recorded in Thetford.
Certainly, yes.
Mm. So what's going to be the format? Are you able to just turn up and go and see this play, or is it sold out?
The Saturday matinee has been reserved for the Appreciation Society. We basically bought the whole lot for the Saturday matinee, but in the previous week there's some matinees and evening performances as well, and anyone can turn up or book a ticket through the Dad's Army Museum. And I think I've got a phone number, 01842 751 975, so they can ring that number and book for tickets for the anything but the Saturday matinee.
Okay. Do we know which episodes are going to be reenacted?
I think the first half will be the Godiva Affair, and with the Morris dancing and bits and pieces and that. And the second half, I believe, is going to be the Deadly Attachment, which is, yes.
Your favourite?
it's a favourite. So, of course, yeah, that should be fun. Okay. Previously, it was a celebration of Dad's Army. So, during the scene changes, they had some explanation of the background to the programme, the history of the programme, and some other bits and pieces as well. So, some narration. It's not narrating the programmes, it's just some background information, really. And for this particular performance, because it's actually placed in Thetford, there's going to be some history of how Thetford fit in, used to fit into the programme as well.
So that's been written into the scripts, is that?
That's been, not into the scripts, that's into the narration between the scenes. Yeah. To bring Thetford's part into the play, or into the situation, it's been rewritten slightly. Because people who are attending the play or live in Thetford, some of them might not know the association with the programme and the streets they used to film in, the areas they used to use. So, yeah, we're bringing that back in and tying it together, really.
Well, as I said, it sounds exciting. Certainly something I'm looking forward to. And in the evening, of course, we have the annual Society Members' Meal.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Every year, because it's been moved from May to June, we're still going to have the meal at the Carnegie Room.
Change of venue.
Change of venue, yeah, because they burnt down the Chequers. We've actually had past meals actually at the museum in Bressingham. We had street parties there to start with, and that was quite interesting. But we had a couple there, and we moved on and tried something else.
And this is going to be quite an interesting time, I think, for Dad's Army in general. And I think it's good that we're changing the format of the Dad's Army weekend, if you like, and to have it focused much more in Thetford is going to be something that, as you said, hasn't happened since the early days. And it should be good. Yeah, the podcast will be at the Dad's Army Appreciation Society Members Meal once again. This will be my third year, I think, attending these meals.
Yes, I believe so.
I have to admit, it's the one event each year that I really, really would not miss. And I'm really glad to say that the podcast are getting far more involved in the organisation this year, in as much as I'm going to be on stage interviewing a couple of Dad's Army celebrities.
Yeah, we twisted James Armsby up there, and I think it's a good thing that to get the podcast involved, and it gives the flavour of the event, really. And I'm pleased that James accepted the offer to interview a couple of celebs, and hopefully some that haven't been interviewed on the podcast before, which is always a bonus.
No, I'm looking forward to that very much, and it's great to speak to members the cast and crew at any time, but it can be extremely difficult to arrange those interviews. So having them all together in one weekend,
be nice.
It'll be great to interview as many as I can. That's not to say I'm not going to be rather nervous doing a live interview.
No, but we could hopefully might get some audience feedback as well, because before it's just normally a one-to-one thing, but this will be a live in front of a keen audience, and hoping that there'll be some reaction as well.
If you are going to the Members' Mill, if you have your tickets and you want me to put a question to a particular member of the cast or crew, we don't know for certain who we're going to be interviewing yet, but you can still email me your questions, and if it happens that I'm able to interview them at some point over the weekend, then I can always put your questions to that particular member of the cast or crew.
Yeah, please do, because if your question's interesting enough, or it falls in line with who we've got up on stage, James might even ask you to ask the question.
Absolutely,
to the celebrity as well, if you're sitting in the audience. That's always nice.
But let's come out with a couple of interesting questions this time.
Yeah, not the same old ones, please.
Because I want to ask those questions.
No, so they do get asked the same questions each time, and I know that not everybody hears. I mean, I hear all the questions, and I'm sure James has probably heard some of the questions that have been asked, and it's always nice to hear something different. And I think they appreciate the fact that they're made to think rather than churn out the same questions every year.
Indeed. Mind you, at the Vicar and Chips event, I thoroughly enjoyed asking Frank what was written on the back of that harmonium. I mean, and he's been asked that question hundreds of times.
Yes.
But I wanted to ask it anyway. So anyway, let's talk about the event at Brassingham Steam Museum, which is going to be on Sunday the 20th.
Certainly, yes, honey, the 20th, the gates open there at 10:30. It's the usual thing, they've got quite a bit going on there on the Sunday. They've got the bands playing, they've got reenactments, they've got the vehicles from the show as well. And later on in the morning, the special guests, and a few more, hopefully from the day before, we're hoping to get not just Dad's Army guests, but Perry and Croft guests along as well for the Sunday. And they'll be there to sign, having some signing session. At least one booked signing session. We've allocated 12 o'clock to 1:15 as a booked signing session. That doesn't mean to say that there won't be more. It's just that we've just allocated this time as a structure to the day, because otherwise some people say, oh, what time are we signing? So now we've actually given them some date, some time. But after that, I'm hoping they will come out after lunch and do a bit more, because people like Jimmy Perry, once they start, they don't want to stop, and they don't like disappointing their fans as well. So, and also it depends on how they feel at the time as well. Obviously, they're all getting on a bit now, and we can't expect them to do too much, so we have to be very careful and give them a break and that sort of thing. But hoping a few more turn up this year as well.
Okay, so we hope to see as many of you at either the Thetford events on a Saturday, or come along to Brassingham Steam Museum, meet the stars of Dad's Army, and just have a thoroughly good time mixing with fellow fans.
That's
who
it.
Have common interests. People are incredibly friendly at these events, and despite the fact people come along, you know, as families or as couples, several people do come along on their own, and they're not just sitting around on their own. It's because everybody is so friendly and quite happy to chat.
No, that's right. We have we've got our Dad's Army members tent as well, and that'll be up near the green area where there'll be a band playing and some of the vehicles. We've got our own tent. Their members are quite welcome to come in for a cup of tea and a bit of cake, and that's next to one of the signing rooms, and also our sales tent as well. So that's always nice to come and say hello, and we see all the names, and it's always nice to put names to faces of all our members. And also, if you missed the stage show the day before or even the week before, in the main hall, in the church hall and the Mannering's office, they're going to do a reenactment of a couple of scenes from the play.
All right.
So about three or four times during the day, they're going to be doing that as well. So if you want to come and see a reenactment there of the show, it'd be quite interesting to see. And I expect it to be a certain part of the Deadly Attachment that they'll do as well.
So, oh, I wonder what bit that will be.
I wonder what bit that will be. But that's what everyone likes to see.
Absolutely. And, okay.
There we are.
Well, thanks very much again, Paul. We have to make sure you come back onto the podcast quicker than 12 months' time this time.
That would be nice. Actually, really a year.
It has been Crikey. A year since we had you on last time. Crikey. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much indeed. And
pleasure.
We'll catch up with you again very soon.
Thanks, James.
Cheers.
There we go. That's another episode of the Dad's Army podcast. In the can, you've been listening to James Rockliffe and Oliver Crocker. And you can write to us to let us know what your thoughts are on the Dad's Army podcast, or indeed anything in the Dad's Army world, to james@dadsarmypodcast.com. Or I've been honoured. I've now been given my own email address, which is wonderful. Oliver@thedadsarmypodcast.com. Any email you send me does go through to James, and vice versa. So it's probably worth mentioning that before you start, you know, sending through love letters and all this kind of stuff to James, because I'm going to read them, you know. So just go steady, ladies. But please do send through your feedback. We really love it's a tremendous pleasure doing the podcast, and we really love to hear from you all. And of course, if you have complaints, let us know those too. You know, I'll calm down the gags. You know, it's
the email address for complaints is Oliver@dadsarmypodcast.com,
and praise would be James@dadsarmypodcast.com. We're both on Twitter. We're there. Mm-hmm. It's twitter.com/dadsarmypodcast or twitter.com/Oliver Crocker. I've got an amazing 11 followers now. I'm really quite honoured by this. So
let's set an aim. By this time, by the next time we record, we want to have doubled the number of followers for Oliver. So again, if you can go into Twitter, click on follow, and you'll be privy to all of Oliver's thoughts about Dad's Army, TV,
snooker,
babies on coaches.
Oh,
and
that's
pretty much
that's a disgrace. You know, come on, quiet coach, baby. They don't go together. Not all the way to Bristol.
I think I've pushed a button here, listeners. But anyway, but we will be going through some of the tweets that we receive about Dad's Army on future podcasts. So I want to open up the Twitter way of getting in contact with us as a perfectly valid way of communicating. So I think if you want to send us a very short, punchy message, either about an episode that you want us to discuss or talk about, or to draw our attention to a Dad's Army news item or event that you've heard about and we haven't mentioned on the podcast, then feel free to use Twitter. After all, it's the 21st century. I've got to use it, then there's no reason why you listeners can't sign on to it as well.
And I'll tell you something, James and I really enjoying doing the commentaries lately. Let us know what your ideal commentary is, and we'll see which one comes up the most, if indeed, you know, we've had two people from different sides of the world ask the same question before, made the same comments. Let's see what the most popular commentary request is for an episode, who you'd like to do it, and we'll see whether we can make it happen.
I think that would be superb. Just to give you a little bit of an idea about what is coming up, we are going to do a War Dance commentary quite soon. It's the next one on our list to record, but it may not necessarily be the next one that's actually aired as part of the podcast. And we're also going to do a little bit of a retrospective look at Command Decision. That's going all the way back to the first episode. It's currently scheduled in for later on in the year, but that might end up coming forward a little bit as well. But do feel free to send your requests to us through all of those different methods of communication that we've discussed. Have we missed off any method of communication?
We do accept carrier pigeons
carrier
as well.
Carrier pigeons, yes, getting the birds.
You're getting. Oh, look that at was, that! Look at that! How that? Quick was that?
Yeah.
That was,
mind you, they were dead, so they probably wouldn't deliver messages quickly.
No,
but either way, write us a letter, send us an email, get in touch with us via Twitter,
send us a fax,
and of course, leave a fax. We don't have a number, but hey. But you can also leave comments on the podcast page itself, which is dadsarmypodcast.com. Just click on comments and type in some non-abusive feedback. That would be fantastic. Anyway, I think we've waffled on long enough for this podcast, Oliver. About time to wrap it up. And I think, to be honest with you, there's probably going to be about 10 minutes of outtakes at the end of this anyway.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Anyway, thanks ever so much for joining us for the last 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. And we'll be back in the next podcast with some coverage of the Dad's Army weekend.
Fantastic. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye for now.
And are they going to have it as, you know, where you would be able to make a wish and pop a penny or two in, you know, will that be a feature?
I think they'd be missing a trick if they didn't.
Yeah, it sounds like a lost episode of Dad's Army with the platoon get called it. This is a tremendous opportunity, Wilson, you know, to go and restore a wishing well and, you know, valuable work for the community, you know, saving some bomb damaged wishing well. It's been a huge part and, you know, Clive Dunn on a piece of rope going, oh, Mr. Mannering, and falling down the well, you know. I think we could write that. How about that? A Dad's Army podcast tribute to Dad's Army, a brand new lost episode. Call it Spend a Penny.
Hey. Well, can I be excused? We've already spoken in this podcast about Oliver's experience in producing some television programmes, and again, you've probably heard us talk about the documentary that he's been very, very involved in, producing for Frank Williams, just to shed a little bit of light on the man and the career that is Frank Williams. No, that sounded crap. That really did. I'll start again.
And Ron Ringham, of course, was in Doctor Who several times in the 60s and 70s, wasn't he? So, which
Mark, who did he play in the Aztecs?
He played Klotoxel.
Oh, superb. What was his next appearance, Oliver? I won't put this in, don't worry.
Well, he was in Colony in Space, but in between that, he was in a Troughton story. No, The Smuggler's Partner.
Oh, I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed. But yeah, you're quite right. Colony in Space is his last one. I think I've got enough outtakes here to make the podcast up on its own. But yeah, cool. So yeah, further evidence.